Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
When you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God. Let's rightly divide it. Why? So we can correctly apply it. And it's a good time to turn your cell phones off or on vibrate. I'm Paul Bobek III for anybody out there. Today is 6/19/2022. We're at adult Sunday school class at Faith Bible Church in Stager, Illinois. Today's Father's Day, so welcome. Happy Father's Day. Welcome to your fathers. And that's actually the name of my message today. It's fatherhood. So, you know I'm from the hood, right? Most is. And I'll tell you, because growing up in the hood, the best hood is fatherhood. There's a lot of where I grew up in the hood, and you know, when you grew up in a rough area, poor area, a lot of time, many fathers were absent from the homes, and it showed in different ways. Yes, fathers and stepfathers are very important on both for the stability of a home. I'm talking about good fathers and stepfathers. And also, I want to throw a word up for single moms that are doing both roles. My mom and dad was divorced. Yeah, and grandmas, grandfathers. My dad, they were divorced. But my father was a good father, but he had moved to Utah. So my mom, like, raised a single mom, and it wasn't easy. Especially she had me, so hard-headed, who thought he knew everything. So the importance of fathers, let's pray before we get started.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to bless you, Father, and thank you that you are the best father, the perfect father, even if we had imperfect fathers, and none of us are perfect, but we have you as a role model. We have you who loves us unconditionally, and you set an example of what a real father is. And so we just thank you. We praise you. I pray your Holy Spirit would just encourage everyone, every father here, every single mom, grandfathers, grandmothers, sometimes they're raising their kids. And I pray everyone, your Holy Spirit, would illumine our minds, because this ain't just about fathers. It's about modeling good and faithfulness, and that all of our lives can adorn the gospel. So whatever's done here, Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, the importance of fathers is a transdispensational truth.
Before you get started, can I share something right quick? So, I think we have a misconception about the hood for, like, absent fathers. I mean, they may be absent physically, but even good neighborhood, they're absent spiritually and,
yeah.
You know, we have a tendency to focus on what we can see, but spiritually, I mean,
yeah, and you got divorced in the richest areas, divorced fathers that aren't good fathers.
Yeah, focus on what we see.
Right, but I'm just bringing it up because I grew up in the hood. But it's very important. It's transdispensational. It doesn't change for what God calls fathers to do from early on. You know, since the human race, He created them. And so the importance of father, it's a transdispensational truth. Fathers should be loving, patient, teachers, and the main discipliners. I've seen that where it lacks. You know, some fathers are trying to be the nice guy, you know, and let the mom do everything, and he puts all that pressure on the woman. But not only, you know, only be a discipliner, we need to love. Discipline in love. What you do, you're training your child up in the way it should go and in the things of the Lord, and for their good, not because you're angry and you beat them, in anger. But Fathers should be the spiritual leaders of the home, and they should be teaching their children God's word. And also, not only that, here's where the conviction starts, even for me. Also set an example of faith and practice. We won't do that perfect, but you know what I've noticed? And this can have something to do with moms too. When a father or mother really don't get into the Word of God like on a daily basis, and the kids don't see that importance, I notice the kids don't have a lot of interest. Now, just because you do, don't guarantee. But boy, when they see it's important to you, and you know, you ever see little boys want to walk like dad? Amen. You know, they want to imitate dad, or little girls with their mom, you know. So it's very important that the Word of God's important to us if you want it to be important to your children. So let's go jump back to Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 20 to 23. I think it's the fourth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 20 to 23. Now this is under the dispensation of law, so you always got to look at the context. Who's speaking? Whom are they speaking or writing to? Right? And at what, in what dispensation? But remember, you really got to rightly divide the word, right? To understand God's word, so you can know your instructions. But Paul says all scripture is profitable, right? But you get the most profit out of it when you rightly divide it God's way. 2 Timothy 2:15, right? Everybody knows that. How's it go?
Study thyself over.
Help her out.
A word that needs to not be ashamed, rightly dividing.
I like that. Y'all got it memorized. So we got to rightly divide it. Then we can get the most profit out of it. But don't forget, there's transdispensational truths that don't change through the dispensations. Amen. You know, like God, it's never God's will from Adam in the dispensation of conscience after the fall, or before the fall, right? In the dispensation of innocence, for him to sin. And it ain't God's will for us to sin today, right? That's a transdispensational truth or principle. So, but there's something here I just want to show you, the importance that God brings to whatever age or dispensation. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20 through 23. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what do you mean about these testimonies? What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgment which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then thou shalt say to thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. They were slaves. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us a land which he swore unto our fathers. So I could actually do a whole sermon just from them verses. What do you see there? You see one thing, teach your sons, your children. You know, right here he says sons. But then you see, what are you going to teach them? God's faithfulness, God's might, God's power. God cared about us. He freed us. Right? There's a lot there. So you see, teach your kids. Amen. Remind them. Do you sometimes share? Now, sometimes you probably even like, well, Paul told us a story already, but imagine if you live with me. You know, how many times you heard it. Mary. Back at you, babe. Let's go to Ephesians 6:4. So jump back to the later part of the Bible. And the same, you see the same thing here. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary, and my New King James says, in the training, where it says nurture, and the Webster's Dictionary says, nurture, the definition, the upbringing, care, or training of a child. So, you bring them up, right? You're training them, you're caring about them when you teach them the Word of God, right? And the admonition of the Lord, okay? Let's go to Colossians 3:21. Colossians 3, verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. So I want to tell you what that word means. Don't stir up agitation and anger by being overbearing, demanding perfection out of your kids. Never encouraging them. All you do is point out when they mess up. So the idea is being overbearing, not encouraging, and setting an example for them to live, glorifying the Lord. So don't provoke. Don't be so strict on your kids, so hard that they feel frustrated, like, I can't please my dad. Because most kids want to please their dad, right? Especially if you had a good father, you know. Even ones that are absent from the home, when the kids get with them, my grandfather was like that. You know, he was a pool hustler on State Street. They called him the mayor of State Street. Back in the day, when he was young, guys would bet $1,000. That was a lot of money on him. But you know what he did? I respect him for being a survivor. You know, that was in the around Depression, probably, that times. But my grandmother, I got high respect, because he would just come home every 9 months, see the kid he made the last 9 months, get her pregnant again, and leave. So I didn't have a lot of respect for him except as a survivor. You know, it's funny, on the other side, my dad's father, he was a deacon in the church, and, you know, so I got like the two natures, right? The good and the bad. But even when he would come around, my mom and some of the brothers kind of hated him after a while. But some of them, they wanted to be with, because it was their dad. You know? And most of them like shooting pool. You know, you want to be like your dad, right? And it's the same thing with God. We should want to please Him. Realize that He loves us unconditionally already, right? So you don't got to earn His love. He loves you right where you're at. When you're at the worst time in your life, maybe you fell in some sin, or you know, Paul talks about those who got caught in a sin. Could be like a bear trap being caught. And God loves you just as much then as He does when you're doing the right things. But it pleases Him when we trust Him, and Father knows best. Remember that program? Us old guys. This guy's looking like, what? I know. I don't remember that. Watch, go on YouTube. Anyway, He wants us, it pleases Him when we're applying His instructions in our life, because we're trusting He does know best. You know, our flesh rebels against that, right? It wants to do what it wants to do. You know, but that's where we reckon ourselves dead to sin, them sinful thoughts, because we died who were in Adam, we were buried. And we present our minds and our hearts and our wills even to God. Go to Proverbs 22:6, right? It's like the middle of the Bible almost. It's after Psalms. What I want to say about this verse now, I've heard it said by people that teach. Well, let me read it to you first, then I'll explain it. Train up a child and in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So they've used this verse to say, if you train your kid up right, he'll trust in the Lord when they're older. That's not what this says.
Amen.
You know what it is?
Amen.
Train up a child in the way he should go. Teach them right and wrong.
Amen.
Lovingly discipline them.
Amen.
Correct them.
Amen.
Set an example for them. And what happens, you instill things in a child that when they're older, it helps them not to make some bad mistakes. You know, like when I came from Utah, my mom and dad had got separated and divorced. We went to Utah for 3 years. I moved back into the hood. This little kid with the crew cut, when crew cuts weren't in style, and green jeans. Right, everybody else had silk pants and Stacy Adams shiny shoes and Italian knits, and you know. But I was a quick kid. I was bright, and I learned real quick how to dress. You know, I started walking. We used to call it pimping around the hood. But when I first got here, and then I went to the bowling alley, met a couple guys, and they said, "You want to go hang out?" So I thought, "Great, I don't know nobody in the city, you know." Well, we're walking, and they start running through the alley, picking up things, throwing, like, to break windows and knocking the garbage cans over. And we get to the end of the alley, and I said, "Why do you do that?" And they said it was fun. And I'm thinking, you think that's fun? See, I was brought up right. I was in 3 years in Utah going to church. I wouldn't say it. But possibly because I was taught right and wrong, that helped me, and taught there's a God, you know, and that helped me. Later, when I heard the gospel, to trust in that God and the God-man, Jesus Christ, right? One mediator between man and God, the man Jesus Christ. And so, here, when you bring your kid up, and not just teaching them, there's an example. And I always try and stress, none of us ain't going to do it perfect. But some don't even try. You know, they're just selfish. They live for themselves. And as a believer, especially a grace believer, we should be wanting to live out of love, right? That adorns the gospel. It makes it attractive to your kids. You know, and like in the hood, we start calling our little group the familia. Because we're like family. We'd bond each other out of jail, you know, and stuff. And sometimes kids get caught up into the gangs, you know why? They ain't got no stable environment at home. Maybe they don't feel accepted at home. So they find acceptance in the gang. Why do you think some guys, they're in their 60s, they're still a gangbanger? Because that's their identity. I'm a, put whatever gang you want to put it in. Okay? But if you know your identity in Christ, you say, I ain't a gangbanger. I'm a child of God, most high. I'm a saint. Don't make sense through that. Matter of fact, I want to go reach out to them guys because my past, they could relate to me. And whatever your past is, whatever, you know, you got some people that won't relate to me. They'll say, that guy's diction sucks. You know, I'm like Paul. They said his diction was contemptible. That's how sometimes I feel, but I like growing up in the hood and a little slang talk. Because like I said, people can relate to me. Younger people can relate to me a lot of times when I talk to them about how stupid the gangs are. I'm like, look it. I remember this young Lang King, actually, I'm walking, and he starts representing. I'm in my 30s. I walk up to him, I go, what? You know, I felt like spanking him or something. And I said, dude, why are you doing this? Gangbanging. I did that when you were in diapers. You weren't even born yet. You were still in daddy. You know. And I says, if you knew the dudes that you're shooting at or fighting with, you'd probably like each other. You're in the girls. You're in the music. Maybe like making money, getting high. And I said, but you shoot each other. Why? Because of name. And then you see them listening. You know. So it gives them maybe... It didn't help him. Maybe later he thought of it. Somebody else comes along. You know how Paul says one waters, or you know, one plants a seed, one waters. And so our past, we don't have to whine and cry about them. We can thank God He brought us through it, right?
Amen.
So, anyway, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So there will be things in him that will keep him or her, the children, from maybe doing some things because you've instilled that in them. Fathers, we really need to teach our children not only study the Bible with them, and what I say, the younger they are, keep it short and try and make it fun a little bit. You know, because young people, you know, if you just sit there for too long, they're going to be like, like some of y'all out here sometimes. The immature ones. You know, but we want to not only teach them the Word of God, teach them how to rightly divide it. It's real important because you're going to, if they understand that principle, how to discern good from evil, good teaching, sound, healthy teaching from like that prosperity, that's evil teaching, prosperity gospel, there's a lot of other stuff out there. But if you teach them principles, and when you watch movies and things, ask questions. Make them think. What do you think they're trying to say? What's that message behind, you know? Because a lot of movies, like Star Wars, the dude who wrote Star Wars, he believed in, like, dualism. Like, there's an even, may the force be with you, right? There's an even, a bad side, good side, which biblically that's not true, right? Satan is a created being. He's evil. He's more powerful than us and more subtle. But he can't hang with God with his wisdom and power, right? God's always been here. Satan was a created being, created beautifully. Then he fell when pride came up in his heart. So we want to set examples and then teach them how to rightly divide God's word. Then, check this out, fathers, if you're with the mother, when your kids see you loving your wife the way Scripture says in Ephesians, they're going to know how to love their wives, your sons, and your daughters are going to know what to look for in a man. Because they're watching their father modeling love. Is he being affectionate with the mother? I ain't talking about doing long kisses in front of kids, you know, but does he hug her? You know, do they hold hands? Do you hold hands? You know, different things. You want to model that. So let's go to Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Guess what? I'm going to let you out early today. I ain't done yet. I shouldn't say that. I believe I'll get in all my verses. I only got these verses and one more. I can't believe it. Everybody's probably saying, why don't you do that every week? I remember, I think your sister-in-law, Sherry.
You got 20 minutes.
I know. I had forgot. I forgot my notes. And so, because, you know, I had prepared a lot, I was able to do a lot of it from memory. And after the service, she goes, you should forget your notes. You know, she liked the message, and I probably did a little shorter. There's your cue, Bill. Anyway, let's go to Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. This is what your children need to see as a husband. Mother's Day, maybe I'll get to the wives about why respecting their husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Why? You know, God tells you what, you know, men say, I don't understand women. You know, but there's a book that explains to us, a manual, to understand your kids, how to raise your kids. I wish there was a book that, a manual for raising your kids. There is. God's given it to us, right? So why does God say husbands love your wife? Because that's the number one thing a woman needs. They need to know in the husband's life, she can be in any part of her life, his life, even though maybe she don't want to be in some, sitting there watching the sports or whatever. But just so she knows, she's number one to her man. And the man, women, I'm just going to throw this out there, whether they're a father, whether it's your boyfriend, whether it's your husband, a man needs respect.
Amen.
He needs to be your hero.
Amen.
And when you don't show that, he feels small. When you respect him, even when he's not deserving it, like the husbands, you still love him unconditionally. You know why? Doesn't God model that love for us? And it's the same way. Women need to be loved and loved the right way. That's why the Holy Spirit through Paul tells us, says, husband, love your wives. Well, how do you love them? Hey, I take her to a thrift shop once a month. If that ain't good, you know, the wife has a husband. Do you still love me? He goes, I told you the day we got married, I ain't changed my mind. Well, the woman wants to hear it, right? And wants you to show it. Because otherwise it's this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of, you know. So husbands, love your wives in what way? How? What's our motto? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God demonstrated his love in this. Why, we were still sinners. We didn't deserve it.
Amen.
We were rotten, totally unrighteous, right?
Amen.
God demonstrated his own unique, it's a unique love in this. Well, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you love the wife, even when she don't deserve it. If she ain't respecting
Amen.
You. Because I'll tell you, when you do that, it makes it a lot easier for her to respect you. Because you're giving her, you're meeting them needs. Now, only Christ can fulfill us, and he makes us complete, right? That's why if you're single and you never get married, you're complete in Christ. But if you choose and you have desires to get married, then you need to know your identity in Christ, that you're complete, that you're unconditionally loved, you're perfectly accepted. Otherwise, you're going to try and get your spouse to meet that. And when two people do that, it's like two bloodsuckers sucking the life out of each other. But if you're complete in Christ, I'm unconditionally loved. I don't got to demand them to make me feel that way, right? Now I can love you. As a husband, I can love you no matter what. Even when you leave piles. You know, there's some little things. But even, you know, when you're married, right, things can add up or aggravate you. Just living with somebody, a friend. If you're two guys, roommates, two girls. But that's why, what does Paul say? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because if you go to sleep thinking about it, you're going to wake up thinking about it. Now something else happens. Or they do the same thing. So instead you forgive. Don't keep reliving it in your mind. And you just love them. And you can only do that through the Holy Spirit, right? That's the fruit of his Spirit. Look at Ephesians 6:10. I always try and remind us, because God calls us to responsibility, right? As believers. But Paul always reminds us it's not in our own strength and our own resources. I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. So look at Ephesians. I'm closing with this. 6:10. Finally, now this is armor of God. He's going to tell them about that armor, God's armor. But finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Did he say be strong for the Lord? Now, Paul says be strong in the grace of God. But he didn't say, you be strong in the Lord. Let the Lord be strong in you. It's Christ in you expressing himself out of you. It's always like, you know, I find myself when I start getting irritated or, you know, I said I'm not the most patient. Wait a minute, you're laughing. I'm like, Lord, let your Holy Spirit produce that in me. Instead of getting frustrated with yourself now and then being self-focused, you're looking to God, you know. And so he says, finally, my brethren. So think of what's in the whole book of Ephesians. A lot of doctrine. That's high grace truth, right? It's one of my favorite books. I mean, how we're accepted in the beloved, right? In Christ, how we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to riches of God's grace, not according to our confession, right? And we're righteous in Christ, right? We're seated with Christ, right? All that truth, identity truth. And now he's going to wrap it up. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Remember, I'll close with this. As a father, or just as a person, ladies, never, we all face things, right? Whether you're single, even. Young people face things. Old people face even more. It seems like I'm Bill as we get older, creaking around. but it's not the degree of the difficulty. It's the abundance of the supply. And where does the supply come from? God's Holy Spirit and Christ in us. And Christ is what? And God, they're infinite in power, strength, wisdom, might, love. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And our lives will adorn the gospel. And we'll be the kind of fathers, since this kind of Father's Day message, that our kids will respect, our wives will respect, and they'll want to model. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your unconditional love. Lord, I thank you that you don't look at our failures. You dealt with all of our sins on the cross over 2,000 years ago. So when we trusted in Christ, you declared us righteous, and you deal with us as your children, as those who are totally righteous in Christ Jesus, because you made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become your righteousness, the righteousness of God in him. So help us to walk according to that identity, Father, that our lives might adorn the gospel and people would want, we'd shine in this dark world, that we as fathers would emulate you. And as you said in Ephesians chapter 4, that as dear children, be imitators of God. So may we love like that, Father. May our life set an example, even though it won't be a perfect one, yours is. And thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And every day is Father's Day because of you, Father. We have 24/7 access to you. And so we just praise you. And it's all because of what Christ did for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So you got some extra time. How do you like that?
I thought you were going to ask a question.
What?
First of all, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads. And even, I was a single mom for a long time. And so I was mom and dad. So women that carry on that responsibility as the head of the home. So I want to wish everybody, happy Father's Day. And also, next Thursday is Chris's birthday.
Yeah.
Can we wish you a happy birthday?
We could sing it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Christopher. Happy birthday to you. And many more. And I want to say, and then everybody can go when you want. Chris is attacking the Berean Bible Institute studies. He's attacking it, but I told him I'm very proud of him. So keep him in prayer, Mary in prayer, Oscar in prayer as students. And we'll be staying a few minutes, but we're going to take off to the Bible conference. after that song.